KALW. From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond, California.
San Jose.
Union City.
Eastside. Jackson.
I'm from the Campbell area.
Hayward.
Coming up, what would it be like if you could talk to the dead?
Basically, I've always been worried about people thinking I'm crazy because of this. And that's a valid concern.
Then we'll learn about the ghostly mastermind behind a South Bay mystery mansion.
If you're confused, I can make it easier for you. We go down to go up to go down, or down to go down to go down.
And we tag along with a real-life ghost hunter in the East Bay.
Is there anyone in here that'd like to speak with us today?
A special Halloween edition of Cross Currents is next. Stick around. Sandra Belanger died in April. It wasn't necessarily an unfamiliar experience for her. Ghosts, death, and the hereafter were a part of her everyday existence. That's because she was a spirit medium. Before she left this world, Sandra shared her insights into the afterlife with reporter Priscilla Yuki Wilson.
Look at that.
That's amazing.
I guess they call that a murder of crows. That's what a large group of crows, is called a murder of crows.
That's Sandra Belanger. It's 11 a.m. and the weather in Oakland is perfect for a stroll. The sunny day almost makes me forget that we're in the middle of the Mountain View Cemetery.
Clearly, crows also have that thing about death attached to them as well.
Belanger's dressed in black, and her long, shiny silver hair is swaying from the calm breeze. She hasn't spent as much time here as she has in the cemeteries she grew up visiting in Massachusetts, but she feels comfortable here nonetheless. She thought it would be a fitting place to discuss her work as a spirit medium.
That's the funny thing about cemeteries, is that you can still have relationships with people even after they're gone from this earth at some level.
Belanger knows her way around. She points out the grave of Domenico Ghirardelli of Ghirardelli Chocolates, and then excitedly points out the grave of Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Dahlia, who was given the nickname after her highly publicized murder in the late 40s.
We're all basically eternal.
For Belanger, Halloween is a time to acknowledge the unknown, the impossible, and even the inconceivable. For her, it's not as much about zombies and vampires, but more about acknowledging death and the afterlife. Two things, she says, many people don't want to think about.
We do everything we can to keep people from dying. We spend a lot of time and effort on coming up with new technologies to do that. But no one ever really thinks about what happens to our consciousnesses after we die. And from the standpoint of physics, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change form. So it would stand to reason that with a human being being powered by electrical energy, that's not going to just dissipate.
Which means Belanger believes that after people die, something about them is still out there, and her job is to communicate with them. She says her work is about bridging the gap between the living and the dead.
Most people, I think, want an afterlife. I think they'd prefer to have an afterlife. I think the concept of winking out like a burnt-out light bulb at the end of your life is frightening to a lot of people.
Belanger says she's always been open to the other side, as she calls it, since she was a little girl. But it wasn't until a near-death experience in 1981 that her life really transferred between two worlds.
I had the definite out-of-body experience, where the only way that I can describe it, it's like, it would be like if you were a dolphin in the sky, being able to do like barrel rolls, and you could move around at the speed of thought. I mean, the incredible freedom of not being in your body, to be completely 100% unencumbered from the standpoint of being a complete consciousness, but to have no limitations as far as movement. It was pretty astounding.
Belanger says that she didn't want to stay in limbo, the term she uses to explain where she was, but spirits there convinced her to come back because she still had unfinished business. To her, that meant becoming a spirit medium. So, you might be wondering, how could this story be possible? Is there any way she can prove it? Belanger says the best form of proof out there is electronic voice phenomena, otherwise known as EVP.
People have been researching EVP since the late 40s, early 50s. Initially, people used regular tape recorders, and using a new tape, they would go into a soundproof area and they would record. And things other than what was said in the room will show up on the tape.
Now Belanger says there is computer software that records EVP and therefore allows you to talk back and forth with the spirit world. She says this has completely transformed how she explains her work to people.
Basically, I've always been worried about people thinking I'm crazy because of this. And that's a valid concern. So I was always striving for some way to prove to other people that what I was experiencing wasn't schizophrenia.
EVPs sound like one of those voices programmed into our computers. Oftentimes it can be staticky, and Belanger says only a highly trained ear can pick up information and stretch it out for normal folks to also hear. Here's an example where Belanger hears the phrase, "Death is a gift."
Death is a gift.
Belanger says it takes her sometimes a few hours just to go through 2 minutes of a recording.
The thing about EVP research is that for every question you answer, it uncovers a bottomless pit of more questions. So there's really no end to it.
Now, there is no scientific explanation for EVP. Belanger says these phrases or questions she hears are not a coincidence, and that this is truly a connection to the spirit world. But she doesn't think she has to go out and convince people.
I provide them with my data, and they have to make their own mind up.
And Belanger's connection to the spirit world comes especially handy when people are looking for answers that only the spirits would have.
I've actually been able to provide some answers for police, for law enforcement, for family members about what happened to their loved one. I worked on the Lacey Peterson case back in 2003. And my feeling was that it had very much helped her family in dealing with the whole situation.
Even though her work sometimes brings up more questions than answers, Belanger is absolutely confident of at least one thing.
And that is that spirits are real. Beyond that, it's all theory, conjecture, and hypothesis.
When it comes to Halloween, Belanger invites people to take it as an opportunity to memento mori, or remember your mortality. And who knows, maybe our spirits do live on forever. From Mountain View Cemetery in Oakland, I'm Priscilla Yuki Wilson for Cross Currents.
Sandra Belanger passed away in April. You can find more information about her investigations into the afterlife at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. For our next story, we're going to stay within the realm of the spirits to bring you a tale about a famously haunted mansion right here in the Bay Area. KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs has more.
Hello and welcome to the Winchester Mystery House.
My name is Maggie Reyes and I am a tour guide here at the Winchester Mystery House.
My name is Maggie and I will be your guide today on this 65-minute tour of Mrs. Winchester's beautiful but bizarre 160-room Victorian mansion.
I give anywhere between 3 and 6 tours a day, depending, but I feel like I could walk that house for 100 years and still not see things that I didn't see before. I mean, her attention to detail was out of this world.
Well, underneath these original wood planks is an original zinc-lined metal floor. So this floor will never rust. If you have a look out to the right and out that doorway, you will see what we call the 7-11 staircase. You go down 7 steps and up 11 steps, and you remain on the second floor.
When I first started working here, like many people, I did think that it was chaotic and didn't make sense. But after I spent some time here walking around, the house actually really makes sense and feels right. I feel like there is a method to the madness. It doesn't feel like madness after you spend time here.
If you're confused, I can make it easier for you. We go up to go up to go up. We go down to go up to go down. Up to go down to go up, or down to go down to go down. Hope that cleared it up. Okay, we are now gonna go to the linen rooms. We're gonna go through the South Conservatory. There is a window in the floor, so please watch your step and follow me.
I like it when people realize that Mrs. Winchester was actually ahead of her time in a lot of ways. I like it when that light bulb goes on.
Over here, we do have a shower that could shower a person front and back, neck and shoulders down. Ladies in those days liked to preserve their elaborate hairdos, and they didn't like to get their heads wet.
I think it's very important to come to this house because it is history, of course. And she was in San Jose before Google was here, before Netflix was here, before any of them were here.
So this is your final stop on your tour today. And if you're feeling a little bit tired, you absolutely have a right to, because you walked about a mile through a mansion that cost $5.5 million to build, has 160 rooms, 24,000 square feet, 10,000 windows. We actually have more windows than the Empire State Building. They do have more glass, but we have more windows. So 10,000 windows, 2,000 doors, 52 skylights, 47 fireplaces, 40 bedrooms, 40 staircases, 17 chimneys, 13 bathrooms, 6 kitchens, 3 elevators, 2 basements, and 1 shower in this 24,000 square foot mansion. 1 shower.
We've heard about ghosts in the South Bay and in the East Bay, but who's there to track them down? Well, a couple of years ago, KALW's Julie Kane went to meet up with a real-life ghost hunter to explore a historic estate in Hayward, where some visitors have had some very strange encounters. Julie takes it from here.
My name is Brandon Alvis. I'm the founder of the American Paranormal Research Association. The clearest voice we ever collected, actually here at the Meek Estate, I'll show you an example. That was that instance with the reporter from the Tri-City Voice. And again, he was holding my digital voice recorder, as well as his, him being a reporter. He likes to document everything. And at the exact time he asked this question, my recorder collects a disembodied voice. His recorder goes to complete static. And still to this day, he doesn't know how that happened. He still owns that recorder, and it still hasn't happened since. So you will hear Simon ask the question, then you'll hear a very clear voice after that.
Can you tell me the case of the red light is possible? Can you tell me the case of the red light is possible?
So tell me what this voice is saying.
We believe it to be, again, it's open to interpretation. Other people hear different things, but we believe it's saying, yes, I would. I died in here. So you want to hear it again?
Yes.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So let's go ahead and try and make our way down to that cistern and see if we can get down into that. I'm gonna turn on this light. There's another one down here we can turn on as well. Watch out for the spider webs and whatnot. This is a little here. So one thing I will tell you, it's a really narrow staircase, very steep, so do not put your hands against the left-hand side of the wall. You can see there's nails sticking out. So when we go down, be very careful and do not try and put your hands against the wall, okay? And right here, we can stop. You can see some of this mold growing here, but see the names?
Can you read those?
See, it looks like it says Helen, Sam. That's the only ones I could read. Not quite sure what the other ones are saying, but you can definitely see the name Helen and Sam. This area has had some activity, and people have reported feeling sensations down here, as well as hearing the voices of a child. Definitely one of the spookier places in the building.
Should we ask a question?
Yeah, let's do it. So we'll go ahead and start recording in 3, 2, 1. Is there a young girl down here that would like to say something to us? That was my stomach, sorry. It's in session. Nothing. That's one of the many things, you know, that happens. We'll go in a location for hours and hours at a time and sometimes get nothing. So it's just kind of a, you know, right place at the right time kind of thing. So
this is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The Rocky Horror Show will be performed live this weekend at San Francisco's Ray of Light Theater. It features Darcy Drollinger in the lead role of Dr. Frankenfurter, and he's well-suited to stealing the show. And we should know, because KLW staff have been to the dance class Darcy teaches in the Castro District. It's called Sexitude.
All right, let's get started. I hear people coming up the stairs. Good morning, Beatrice.
A couple dozen people gather at the Academy of Ballet. It's early, 11 a.m., and while it looks like your standard dance studio, you know, there's wall-to-wall mirrors up front and ballet bars in the back, it's clear that this is not your average dance class. For starters, there's the students.
We have people who are 60.
Doctors.
People who are obese.
Drag queens.
People who've had HIV for decades.
And then there's folks like this.
I write software which helps manage the logistics at ports.
And this.
I teach AP Calculus and Algebra 2 and Algebra 1.
And this.
I work at a really vanilla job. We actually specialize in investment management.
On the surface, they all have something in common.
I work at a place that's pretty stodgy.
And that's one of the reasons they've come here today.
It's fun to be able to just dress up one day a week at least and live the dream.
The dream is backup dancing, and their dream maker is Darcy Drollinger. You can't miss him. He's leading the warm-up in fluorescent blue spandex with hot pink socks and a headband.
I personally have a spandex addiction.
Many people here have clearly followed his lead.
I am wearing star-studded fishnet stockings with sparkly panties.
A Hanes t-shirt with hand-stenciled lettering that says, I'm a stupid bitch. A
lot of good gold lame.
Skimpy tops.
Leopard print booty shorts.
Neon colors.
A cut-off shirt with my hairy little gut sticking out.
Fringe.
And I'm fine if people come in gym shorts and a t-shirt. But if they put on a sassy flash dance top and some leg warmers, I can guarantee you they're going to dance harder and they're going to have more fun.
But don't be fooled by the outfits. This class is physically challenging and this warm-up is no joke.
And stretch. Flap back. Plie stretch. Flap back. Release sideline.
I'm not kidding. The first time I went, I could not really walk that well till Thursday.
After the class, I told Darcy, I said, oh my gosh, I can't do this. He just said, come back next week. Just keep coming back. And I did. And it got easier.
This is week 3 of this routine, so I'm going to push you a little further. And I tightened up a few things too, so you'll be happy.
Squeeze me.
The dance moves, honey, the dance moves.
So here's how it works. Darcy creates a new routine each month. He teaches it in bite-sized sections, adding new bits each week.
This little beginning part's the most complicated part of the whole thing. So once we get that under our belt, we can keep running that over and over and over, and we'll add the rest of it. And I'll put some music on, and we'll start working with music. 5, 6, 7, 8. Face, shoulder, smooth skin, palm, palm. Yes.
Okay. Darcy demonstrates as he goes. The laser-focused right, students watch him in the mirror and mimic his every move. Some nail it. There's also some awkwardness, and there's a few questions. Once everybody's got it, Darcy moves on.
Boom, and I'm about to show you something gorgeous. Okay, turn around, boom, one, push it out. Bring it in, show it off, and bam. More, and bam. Hello, whip it. All right, let's try it with some music.
It's not about getting every move right every single time.
I see a little fire in your faces.
He pushes us to have an attitude, to be fierce.
Give me something. Sell the song to me.
It's kind of like half acting and half dancing.
You got no excuse but to seduce. 6, 7, 8.
He will often say in class,
I want sexy.
Give me sexy.
Or I want attitude.
Or give me attitude. I choose attitude over sexy. The sexy thing is still so tied up with my Catholic upbringing that sexy meant slutty.
Some of them are going to be better at tossing their hair. Some people are going to be better at, you know, the actual move. Some people are going to be better at crawling on the floor, whatever it is. You know what I mean? So using whatever strength they have.
Definitely feel glamorous. Definitely feel fabulous.
I want you to fire every muscle.
For some, muscle. Sunday school is a great way to unwind and get some exercise. But for many, the class is much more.
The class has definitely changed my life. I think I struggle with not being comfortable in my own skin. And I know this sounds kind of cliche, but he's kind of taught me how to love myself, to love who I am, to embrace who I am, and to show off who I am.
I would go crazy if I didn't get to dance. Don't get to have that type of expression anywhere else.
It seems like a lot of people in class have gotten up the courage to quit their crappy jobs after being in dance class for a while. You feel almost rebellious and you begin to get more impatient with things that don't make you feel positive about yourself. I think I understand more now why people go to church.
And for Darcy, their passion is his reward.
What is so satisfying is to watch these people when they give it their all. They give it everything they've got, and they may not be perfect, and they're probably not gonna be perfect. But there's something so joyous when they are going for it in this kind of raw, enthusiastic way, purely for the joy of doing it.
You're fabulous. Have a wonderful week. I love you all. Thank you.
How'd you do, I?
Sexitude takes place tonight in San Francisco's Mission District. And Darcy Drollinger is starring in the Rocky Horror Show at San Francisco's Ray of Light Theater this weekend. Find all the details at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents.
Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover.
And that's it for the show. Today's Cross Currents team includes Raquel Maria Dillon, Nina Gensler Debs, Angela Johnston, Christine Nguyen, Lilia Vega, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are Jackie Sajiko, James Rollins, and Gabe Graben. The line producer is Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.
Let me show you a rhyme, maybe play you a sign. You look like you both.
Today's local music is by Andy y su Orquestra Callao, a 10-member salsa group. The band takes part in Dance Fridays, a recurring event at Club Fuego in their hometown of San Francisco. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Ya no existen los poemas para conquistar.